4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. Okay, so that's who this message is directed to, the children of Israel. And that is the same children of Israel that will be in the New Testament. Israel is not the changed to be white Anglo-Saxons. Okay, so for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. We often hear of a controversial statement. Okay, so the Lord is upset with the children of Israel. And remember, Hosea is prophesying to the northern tribes. Okay, with a contemporary of Isaiah. Isaiah and Micah was prophesying to the southern tribes at the same time that Hosea was prophesying to the northern tribes. And here's the controversy that the Lord had with the inhabitants of the land. Because there is no truth. So the song that people sing, His Truth is Marching On, the battle hymn of the Republic, isn't true. The battle hymn of the Republic is about the second coming of Christ, and anybody that sings that and says, I have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord, is lying. I don't think they're purposely lying, it's just that they're not taking notice of the words. And that hymn has five stanzas in it. Most hymn books will only have four. The reason why that third stanza, they usually take that one out, is a real exposing of that song. Okay, and it's about the marching of the gospel through burnished steels of swords. Boy, a Muslim would like that song, wouldn't he? Okay, and so what has happened to truth at this time? Okay, at the cross reference, Isaiah 59, verse 13. Remember, Isaiah and Hosea were contemporaries. Isaiah 59, verse 13. What happened to truth at this time? And the same thing is occurring, sadly, in America. Isaiah 59, verse 13, it says, in transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. So many of the same things are occurring in our country. And as we keep reading down, you'll see many of the same things occurring in our country. And men learn from history that men seldom learn from history. Okay, and so there's no truth. The Lord had a controversy about that. He wanted truth to be known. But if you go to Purdue and IU and any of the state colleges, remember, they don't believe there's such a thing called truth. You know, you ask them, is there such a thing called truth? Oh, no, there's nothing, no absolutes in life. And then you ask them, are you sure about that? They may come back, well, absolutely. But I thought you said there's no absolutes. So they have no truth. Okay, when there's no truth, there's no mercy. The next thing, no mercy. As in the jungle, the law of the jungle is the survival of the fittest, and only the fittest survive. Therefore, the weak animals become preys of the strong. You see, if an evolutionist was consistent, they would say that Adolf Hitler did a good thing. Why? Because his guns were bigger than somebody else. Only the fittest survive. And it's not murder to kill another human being if you're an animal. See? And so these people that have animal rights on all this stuff, we know they're hypocrites about it. Because if they saw a dead human alongside of the road, they would hopefully call some authority to come investigate. But they don't when they see a dead possum on the side of the road. You see, they obviously see a difference. And if you're looking real close, you can see a difference on the road if you see a dead lawyer on the side of the road versus a dead deer.
I see what's wrong with the deer.
Yeah, there's skid marks in front of the deer. And so there's obviously differences on these things. Okay, so animals don't have mercy on other animals. You know, when a chicken is hurt or wounded, of course we know all the chickens get together and pray over it and lay, you know, their claws on it, their beak on it, and they pray over it. Yeah, they pick at the thing until it's dead, so they walk over it. So when you're seeing humans acting like this, it's because there's no truth in them. They're acting like animals. No truth, no mercy. And why is that? It says, nor knowledge of God in the land. They don't know God. And knowing God, the knowledge of God, is part of our growth in grace in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So in the New Testament, we're not trying to increase our knowledge of religion per se. We're trying to increase our knowledge of a person. We try to win people to a person, and that's Jesus Christ. And then our growth in grace is added when we know more about that person, Jesus Christ. Okay, and so there's no knowledge of God in the land. And you can run many of the cross-references there about knowing God. Okay, so if there's no truth, there's no mercy, there's no knowledge of God in the land. And then he says, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committed adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. Okay, swearing and lying, courtroom setting. You swear to tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but truth. You know, okay, then they lie. And the killing, abortions, stealing, you know, you have legalized stealing and regular stealing. Legalized stealing will come a little further down as we read down through here a little further. Legalized stealing will be down at verse 18. Their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love give ye. When rulers love to say give ye, give ye, give ye, give ye, another word for that is taxes and taxes and more taxes and more taxes. And these bureaucrats are not going to stop. They're going to keep bleeding that host as much as they can. Somebody has been, you know, informing me lately, they got a property that I don't know if they own or jointly or, you know, individually. But the property taxes last year were $6,000, and it got the property tax bill this year, $45,000. You see, the rulers with shame do say, give ye, give ye, give ye. You know, and they keep going up and up. You know, property taxes, the whole basis of property tax is an unconstitutional thing. And it goes against the founding document of Indiana, Michigan, Illinois, Wisconsin, and I think Ohio. Is that, those are the five states part of the Northwest Ordinance. So I think it was those five plus anything, where in the Northwest Ordinance it says that the land is untaxable. That's what it says, but you know, of course, that's a hard thing to fight. Virtually impossible one to fight. But you see, that's the ruler saying, give ye, give ye, give ye, give ye. Always, they're always conjuring up another scam and then call it a tax. Okay, so that's stealing. That's legalized stealing. You see, I have no right as an individual to demand of anybody in this room to give me something that you have earned and expect to get it for nothing. I have no right to do that. And that means everybody on this side of the room has no right as a group of people to demand this side a tax. They have no right to do that. What gives a political body the same right? They don't get the right. They don't have that right. Now, our Constitution was designed to lay out a tax that was constitutional, and it was a temporary thing. But you see, what's going on all across this world is somebody at the top is raping somebody at the bottom. All across this world. And the Antichrist mentioned in Daniel chapter 11, notice one of his characteristics. Daniel 11, verse 20. Daniel chapter 11, much of the chapter has doctrinal information about the Antichrist. And in verse 20, it will show that there's not a tax that he doesn't like. Daniel 11, verse 20. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom. But within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. And his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Notice the word taxes, a raiser of taxes. On the phone bill, I don't know if it's up here in Lake County, but it probably is. There is a tax on your phone bill that is still being collected for the, I think it's the Spanish and American War. When was that, back in the 1800s? Ain't got that thing paid off yet. And they're still collecting a tax for that. Now I know we this has been discussed in the law class before about the illegality of a sales tax at all on your phone bill. It is completely illegal to have that. Why? It's taxing free speech. Now, Gene Zimmerman, his phone bill does not include the sales tax. He has written them, and they don't put it on his. We've had some say that when they requested that, they turned their phone off when they don't pay that. Others said they had other problems with it. Ken Gilchrist down at Rensselaer tried it and called in and asked them, and they said, well, you got to fill out this form, and you got to fill out this form, and then another form, and then we'll take that off. But you see, they know at the top of the phone companies that that's an illegal tax, but they keep collecting it, don't they? The rulers with shame, verse 18, do say, give thee, give thee, give thee. And now, of course, you got the preachers doing it all across the television. Give ye, give ye, give ye, give me, give me, give me. Okay, so back in verse 2, verse 3, therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea shall be taken away. Now that verse in its entirety, when a land, verses 1 and 2, when what occurs in a land in verse 1 and 2, the natural digression will be that the moral condition of a nation directly affects the agricultural harvest and the wildlife of fish, fowls, and game, meaning hunting will get worse. Fishing will get worse. And, you know, I'm not a fisherman per se, you know. I didn't mind spearing you know, spearing for them carp, but who wants to eat them? It was fun spearing them. But does anybody bear witness of that, that through the years you've seen that fishing and hunting's worse, Mike? And that's what happens to a nation. Why? Because the land gets defiled. Okay, the land gets defiled, according to Numbers 35, when you don't shed the murderer's blood. The land gets defiled. The land gets defiled. The animals that live off the land get defiled. And therefore, they die quicker. And so that's just a law of life, verse 3. Verse 4, it says, yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. That's a weird statement. Add that in there. The implications are that when a society gets really bad, the women get really bad. I mean, any generation, any society, men are just seemingly to be wicked. But when you have wicked women, you have a wicked society. You know, out here at the bookstore, you know, there'll be an older lady who come, older female who comes out. I don't want to call her lady, but older female, or the female gender, at least that's what it looks like, comes out. And I'm thinking, a woman in her 50s or 60s associated with this? A grandmother who wouldn't mind her granddaughters being associated with this? That's a wicked woman. I mean, I don't. A lot of times, wicked men, they still respect their godly mother and their godly grandmother. Boy, but you got wicked women, and of course, you see where America's going. Verse 6 is a famous verse. Often, the first phrase is only quoted. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That is true. People are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If ignorance is bliss, a bunch of people are in a blizzard. Okay, but ignorance of something just means somebody has ignored something. If somebody is ignorant of something out just because it hasn't crossed their path, that's one thing. But this ignorance is a willful ignorance. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Well, you can see who that's primarily aimed at, the religious leaders of the day. And they have rejected knowledge. What have they rejected? They have rejected that God can keep his words preserved perfectly, no matter how many men want to ruin his Bible. The scholars and the Christian college professors all across this country, the vast majority of them, you could probably say 98% of them, probably even 99% of them, if you ask them if they, you know, the purported fundamentalist ones or the conservative ones, you ask them if God inspired the original autographs, many of them will say yes. Obviously, the liberals would not, but the conservatives and the fundamentalists would say, or the evangelicals would say yes. And then ask them, has God preserved that manuscript or those manuscripts or those words perfectly for today? And the vast majority will say no. Therefore, their God took the effort to inspire a book and lost it. That's their attitude. So, when these fellows are shown the fallacy of their ways, the vast majority of them will ignore that because they have a job at stake. If my students who lap at my wisdom discovers that I don't believe there's a perfect Bible that I can get in my hand, oh, I would be the laughing stock of the community. But yet, I've got to keep them in this bondage because I know the Greek, and for them to get to truth, they got to come to me. You see, that's the attitude. Down in Rensselaer, I talked to this preacher years ago. He asked about this subject that came across him. And he said, yeah, I heard that's what you believe. And so we sat down for 3 hours and I showed it to him. And I was pretty gentle with the guy because it was just him and me. I did have a tape recorder on it. And I looked at him and I said, see, what you believe is that since you know the Greek and your people don't, they have to come to you in order to get the truth. Don't you believe that? And he just kind of hum-hawed around. I said, now come on, admit it. Don't you believe that? Then he said, yeah. He did admit it. So that was a three-hour thing, and several times I heard him say that I wrestle with that, and I wrestle with that, and I asked him about being a part of the ministerial association when he's got a Catholic priest on it. Oh, I wrestle with that. And so finally, after hearing that wrestling about 10 times, I said, I sure hope it's not 2 Peter 3:15 where it says that the guys wrestle with the scriptures to their own destruction. And then he goes, well, I certainly hope so too. And I'd put so many arguments on that poor fellow. He said, I don't know what the answer is. And then, 2-3 weeks go by, and so we had our second meeting. It was a two-hour thing. And after 2 hours, here I got 5 hours where this guy couldn't answer simple questions, couldn't refute what I was saying, found the fallacies and the lies going on in his NIV. 5 hours of that, after 5 hours, he said, I don't care what you say, I'm sticking with the NIV. What is that? That's an example of this right here. He rejected the knowledge. And what happened? God rejected him. Wasn't 2 or 3 years later, he ran off with some woman in the church. Why? He had no final authority. Not saying that anybody that does that don't have any final authority. A lot of times that's, just things happen like that. But I'm just telling you about this situation with this fellow. After the 5 hours, then he wanted to start debating to me about baptismal regeneration. He was a closet water dog. And I just looked at him and said, there's no use even discussing it. You don't have a final authority. And I left. Why waste the time? Gave the guy 5 hours. What does he expect? Did that with another fellow. He's an assistant pastor of Oak Mennonite Church. NIV Church. Now, this guy was a New American Standard fella. He had gone through John MacArthur's Master's College. And so I talked to him for an hour or two because he's asking questions about it. And he scoffed at the NIV because it wasn't a good translation, not as good as the New American Standard. And I showed him the same mistakes in the New American Standard versus the NIV. And he didn't know what to say about that. And then a couple months went by, and I came back, and I happened to pick him up, visit him again. And he said, well, you'll be glad to hear that I did go back to the King James. And I said, well, that's good. Do you believe it? No. I said, doesn't matter then. What difference does it make? What is it? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. They rejected the clear, simple knowledge that was given to them. What happens to a priest or a prophet like that? Look in Malachi chapter 2. This is a real encouraging, uplifting passage. Malachi chapter 2. Verse 1, now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory to my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Ye have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed. Back in Hosea, he said, You forgot my law, I'm going to forget your children. Same thing. And then he says, and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. Boy, ain't that a real uplifting passage? Here's mud in your eye. You know, if it wasn't only just mud. And then that goes clear down to verse 8. And let's see, verse 6, it says, the law of truth was in his mouth, iniquity was not found in his lips. That was the original priesthood. And you'll see the same thing going on today. Same thing. Hosea 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Okay, Isaiah 5, verse 13 is a parallel with that. Same thing. Remember, they are contemporaries. Isaiah 5, verse 13. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. So that's contemporary. So every nation that goes down a road of destruction follows the same path that Israel went down and Judah. Okay, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. Notice forgotten. Didn't say forsake. Even though in the process we know there's a forsaking, but they just forgot about it. Psalms 9, verse 17. All nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. Didn't say they forsook God. They just forgot it. You know, you had a lot of people, oh, I forgot to read my Bible. Oh, I forgot to go to church. Well, I forgot to do this. Well, we got to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Okay, forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. That's a terrible thing if that happens. It says, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priests. And I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. So the priests or the prophets or the preachers or the pastors, all the religious leaders in one little bundle, when apostasy is amongst the religious leaders or the priests or the prophets, that breeds apathy with the people. And if you want to see apathy, just knock on doors and you'll see it all across. All across this country. I just don't care. Okay, and then the apathy of the people, that breeds anarchy in politics. That's the pattern it always goes. And it's an alliterated thing too. It works so you can kind of remember that. Okay, but that's always the pattern. Okay, and so that's why we have the anarchy going on all across the world. It begins in the Christian colleges. Where did the very first sin begin in our Bible? Genesis chapter 3. What was the very first part of the first sin? Satan said, yea, hath God said. The very first sin stems from questioning what God says. That's where it starts. Okay, and then Eve, apathy set in. Eve, she wasn't real serious about what God said. She added a word, she subtracted a word, she changed a word, watered it down. Did it all deceptively. She hadn't sinned yet. Her motives were right. See, and then sin comes in and anarchy. It all begins at the root, the final authority. That's where it all starts. And that's with every issue of life is final authority. I've been getting letters from a fellow that my brother, I think, had talked to at some farm show. And so he wanted me, asked me to comment on an article that he's written. It's long pages. And he got a mixture of truth and error in there. But he seemed to have a humble spirit about it, sincerely asking questions. So I've been writing back and forth. But I started with, let's get our final authority settled down here. What is our final authority? Well, the Bible. Okay, which Bible? Let's get that settled. And see, then we can go from there. Now, that hasn't been settled yet. And I doubt it will be settled because, you see, and in my second letter, I said, let me inform you of a dirty little secret amongst the scholars. And I showed them about how they believe God inspired a book and lost it and all that stuff. And so it takes time for this stuff to sink in. And so, you know, a lot of times you want to get back and forth, try to get this truth across, but you have to go slow with people, especially when they see the apostasy in the churches. And he may have a real sincere heart, and I want to make sure I'm going to find that sincere heart. But I'm also going to expose it when it's not sincere. That will come out. It comes out with time without even having to say anything. Just keep putting the truth in there. Okay, and so, like people, like priest. Get talking to a Catholic and ask them about their priest. Show them that verse. Like people, like priest. And then look at them and say, I don't know about you. You know, what Catholic mother would put her son as an altar boy knowing what's going on across this country? Can't imagine that. Okay, the next verse. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Now, the whoredom could be literal. Often it is literal. But in whoredom, from God's perspective, is idolatry. Okay, that's a spiritual whoredom is always idolatry from God's perspective, because they have their relationship with God, but when they go have a relationship with a pagan god, that's adultery. That's spiritual adultery. So spiritual whoredom usually leads to physical whoredoms. And whoredom, that's of course only a King James word. Nobody understands that today. You know, they've updated that today. You know, ho on the street. And so they say the King James isn't real plain. Oh, it's real plain. Now the next verse. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. Now notice the distinctions in this verse between wine and new wine. So you know that wine is fermented. New wine would be the grape juice. But why would they put that together? Well, it could be mixed drinks. I'm sure mixed drinks has some good juice and some rotten juice. Okay, but the idea is that even if you just stick the new wine by itself, grape juice, taking away the heart, this could also imply that material prosperity can also take away the heart, if it's a vineyard of some type. And that's what I've written down in a footnote about that. Where in Acts 19, it was not immoral people who stopped the revival in Acts 19. It was your wealthy businessmen in the community, because they made money off of making little statues. And when you get into this, now we're going to get in, when we get down a little further, we're going to get into somebody worshiping trees. And so then this, the wealthiness gets into often the secret societies of paganism, where wealth is given to them through the secret societies. Because you know that the devil is a trafficker. Ezekiel 28 calls him a trafficker of merchandise. And so the devil can send out his little imps, who are wonderful salesmen, to get people to buy certain products when they have certain blessings from certain spirits. And I tell you, we are getting, this spiritism is just engulfed us. You know, I don't know if Jeremy wants to tell everybody this story, what he's telling me this afternoon, but that just blew my mind. Some things in the Navy where they, when they cross the equator, and then what's the god that comes on the ship?
Neptunus Rex.
Neptunus Rex, and they go through a 9-hour initiation and they get baptized by Neptunus Rex? This is in the Navy.
Our Navy.
Ask him about it. I mean, he's got the little card to show you. You know, he's somebody. Yeah. You know, this stuff just blows your mind. It's everywhere. A lot of these major corporations, you know, at the top of these major corporations, I don't know if they're flesh and blood, but they're something. And they make a lot of dough. You know, who was it years ago that somebody kept saying, I think it was Procter & Gamble, but I don't remember, where there was a boycott of Procter & Gamble because they gave money to Satanism. Remember that? Was it that product? And finally somebody interviewed the top dog, the president or something like that, and then he said, we don't give any money to Satanism and everything. But then it did come out that he was a type of Satanist, where he personally gave to it. I mean, this is a wild stuff. Okay, so whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. Now, I'm not against, you know, if you get stocks and bonds, I'm not against that. But, you know, isn't it interesting what they call them? Stocks and bonds. You're placed in stocks and you're held in bonds, because as soon as you buy something like that, you're immediately got to quick go to the newspaper to make, did it go up or down, up or down, up or down? Oh, I got to go up or down. You know, you're bound into it. And I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying if the Lord leads you to do that, give it up to God and let him take care of it. If he wants you to lose all the money, just say, okay, Lord. I think I got involved in something like that in silver stocks one time. Man, I about lost my shirt, pants, britches, and everything, about my shoes. I said, okay, that was enough tuition on that one, Lord. I ain't doing that again. Okay, but keep reading down. My people ask counsel at their stocks. Those are pagan statues. And their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills, under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore, your daughter shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. Well, there we got the sacred oaks that the Druids were associated with. Then you got the 40-foot owl statue in the Bohemian Grove that high public officials go to. You see, the devil has the power of the kingdoms of the world delegated to him at this moment. He was going to give that power to Jesus Christ if Jesus Christ bowed down and worshiped him. That's the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is obviously under God's control. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven was first given to Adam. He forfeited it, lost it. Then Noah, it was given to Noah. Then he forfeited and lost it. Then it was given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which eventually came the kingdom of Israel. And they lost it officially under a fellow named Jeconiah in Jeremiah 22. And at that moment, it was given to the devil. And now that ushered in what's called the times of the Gentiles. That's what we're under. And so the devil will delegate this authority, international power or national power, to the ones who worship him best. That's why we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And so if you have an international spiritual leader in these days, mark it down, he has sold his soul somewhere. And I personally believe that every international leader I should say 99%. Because you always got an exception. Queen Victoria would be an exception. The exception proves a rule, but I do believe that if they get an international power, they somewhere along the line have had a personal encounter with Satan himself and know that they are giving over to him in order to get this power. A lot of you, I also think a lot of these big-time rock stars, I don't know if they would have a personal encounter with Satan himself, probably the underlings, you know, in order to get that kind of stuff. But here we got the trees and the birds and all this stuff going on. And notice that what's always coupled with this is sexual perversion. Sexual perversion will go with sodomy and bestiality and incest. You know, and incest seems to have a pretty strong bond with Masonic families and things like that. Verse 14, he says, I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery, for themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore, the people that doth not understand shall fall. When God gives up on somebody, this is an example of him giving up. Romans 1, boy, they're done. Verse 15, though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend. So here Hosea is sort of stepping out of his commission and aiming his guns down south toward the people in Judah, where most of his ministry was in Israel, the 10 northern tribes. So he just thought he'd throw a couple shells down toward Judah to try to straighten them out too. He said, yet let not Judah offend. Well, we know Judah did offend. And it says, come not ye unto Gilgal, neither go ye up to Bethaven, nor swear the Lord liveth. Gilgal was the place under Joshua 5 and 1 Samuel where they kind of kept, it was like their first military base where they'd go out from here. Gilgal was mentioned by Amos. Amos chapter 4, verse 4. And you can see the utter sarcasm of God in this passage. In Amos 4, verse, Amos is a country boy. Amos' life was that he was a gatherer of sycamore fruit. So he was a pretty straight shooter. He's just a little country boy. And look how what he would call people in verse 1 of Amos 4, verse 1. Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan. It's another word for cow. Can you see Amos on a street corner? He says, hey, you bunch of cows, listen to me. Calling people a bunch of animals. What a character he was. I like his response to that uppity-up woman in Amos chapter 7 later on. Boy, he puts it right on her. But verse 4, Amos 4, verse 4, he says, come to Bethel. Okay, remember Bethel. The E-L is God. Beth, house. So that's the house of God. Come to Bethel, come to the house of God and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgression. Bring your sacrifice every morning, your tithes after 3 years, and offer of thanksgiving, sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. And proclaim and publish the free offerings. That's sarcasm. He's telling them, why don't you go to church and sin because you're just flat wicked. That's what you're going to do anyway. I know it's sarcasm because he says this, for this liketh you. Oh, you children of Israel. He says, go ahead and do it. You know, I haven't received Chuck Mars newsletters lately, and I just happened to get one. He's got in the back of it this time around of a preacher down south who is an Elvis Presley impersonator. And as a pastor, he calls himself Elvis Priestley. Can you imagine going to that church? He could sing, you know, what's the one Elvis Presley used to sing? How Great Thou Art, is that the one he used to sing? He can sing. And it says that he woos the women in his congregation. Yeah, I'll bet he does. You got the picture of the guy and everything. Man, only in America. Only in America. Okay, back to Hosea 4, verse 16. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Now I thought that, why did he write, put that thing in there? That's a millennial statement. He's going to feed them as a lamb in a large place. Verse 17, Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. Show that one to a Mormon elder. Join the idols. Let them alone. Leave them alone. And when God leaves somebody alone, they're dead ducks. Verse 18, their drink is sour. That's probably a drink offering. They have committed whoredom continually. We read that. Her rulers with shame do love give ye. So rulers evidently get associated with the whoredoms. The common phrase is, in the know. Ever hear that phrase? In the know. Where'd that originate? Genesis 19, when the Sodomites beat on Lot's door and said, we want to know those two men that came in your door. That's in the know. And Pennsylvania Capitol Building has it in large life-size statues right in front when you walk in, both sides. Naked men, women, and children. Right there. Statues. It's a public orgy. Pennsylvania Capitol Building. You go inside, go to the right to the governor's reception room. You can see all the history of the layout of Pennsylvania, and it got William Tyndale and William Penn listening to street preacher, William Penn street preaching, coming all the way around that. Okay, Hosea 5:19. The wind hath bound her up in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. So, okay, that's chapter 4. We got that pretty well covered. Any questions or comments? What we covered?